This is the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are here from lovely Las Vegas for the Greg Peterson Experience right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I am Greg Peterson. We were talking about this off air. It'll be really awkward when we wind up getting a day in which it's not Greg Peterson on the Greg Peterson Experience. Fortunately, I'm going to do my darnest to make sure that that does not happen very much at all, if not ever. But we've got a terrific show. 3 hours of just taking a look at everything that we've got going on in the sports betting world once we hit midnight Pacific, because that's when all the continental 48 states are officially turned to Saturday. We are going to be going hard and heavy onto what is going to be a terrific college football Saturday. So we've got that going on. I'm trying to get into college basketball mode. Going to have the VSiN college basketball betting guide out for you guys, by the way, within the next few weeks. Hard at work on that. We're also hard at work trying to make you some money on the gridiron. Going to get you guys caught up on everything that is happening in college football right now in a few minutes. We have a team that is set for the World Series and a team that is trying to join them. Well, they're going to be having a pitching change. We're going to get you guys caught up on that in the first hour, and then going to be taking a look at some NFL props here tonight as well. So we've got a jam-packed 3 hours of action for you guys, and what we're not seeing a lot of action on is Arizona versus Washington. Not necessarily the betting action, rather the amount of scoring action, as if you took the under in this one, you're in very good shape. Third quarter just wound up coming to an end. Arizona currently is leading Washington by a count of 16-7. And if you're looking for a team that has been one of the biggest disappointments out there in all of college football, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Washington, as they wound up being a pretty massive favorite in this game, closing right in the neighborhood of about 17 points. And this is a total that was anywhere between 45.5 and 46. And now you're finding live Washington a 4.5-point underdog, and you're finding a live total of 33.5. So if you want to take the under, you've got north of a touchdown and a field goal in your pocket right now as compared to what you'd be getting right now. And, well, Washington, they are really up against it, as they've got 139 total yards tonight. What a calamity that has been. So we're going to be keeping our eyes on that. The other game that's going on is getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. Colorado State currently trails Utah State by a count of 26-24. This is a game that is going to be a little bit of a sweat on the total, because it wound up opening up at 54.5. It winds up closing anywhere between 58 and 59. So if you wind up diving in on this early with an over, you're certainly going to be sweating. If you wind up taking this late on the under, you're looking pretty good. But if you wind up diving in early, well, that is another case in which you're going to be sweating this out as well. So we've got a lot going on there, about 2:30 left, and then did wind up having a pair of games in the FBS Go Final and one FCS Final as well. We always seem to get one random FCS game on these Fridays, and that'd be Columbia and Dartmouth. As I always say on this show, it doesn't matter whether you're betting on the World Series, if you're betting on just a generic college football game, a generic NBA game, what have you, or if you're betting on the Super Bowl, or in this case, Columbia versus Dartmouth. Whatever makes you money is just the way that you want to be going in general. The bankroll does not discriminate whether you're going with Columbia versus Dartmouth or if you're going with the biggest of big games. 19-0, Columbia wound up getting the win, and this is a place in which the spread was so high that Columbia did not have a money line in a lot of spots. The straight money lines I did wind up seeing was right around plus 600 on Columbia, as they were between a 17.5 and an 18-point underdog, so they pulled the reverse cover in this one. Total of 45.5. Well, that went way under, as you wound up getting 19 total points, all scored by Columbia. So that's a lot of fun. And hey, if you wound up taking a Columbia money line, I'm sure there aren't too many people, but I'm sure there's a few out there. You made yourself some nice coin tonight. So congratulations. Good on you there. And good on you if you wound up taking Middle Tennessee State. They wind up completely clobbering UConn by a count of 44-13. And if I had a dollar for every time in the college football season I said UConn got clobbered, I would have quite a bit of money, because, well, they are not very good to say the least. But Middle Tennessee State was able to do enough to be able to get this total over, as it wound up closing anywhere between 54 and 54.5. And this is a situation which you wound up getting 57. So all good there. And the two touchdown favorite of Middle Tennessee State, they cruise with ease there. And Central Florida and Memphis was a little bit more of a pick 'em game, And this is a total which was set relatively high. Central Florida, always known for putting some points up on the board. They've been dealing with some injuries with their offense, to say the least, especially at the quarterback spot. But they were able to get it done against Memphis by a count 24-7. A Memphis team that, by and large, has been one of the better ones out there at being able to move the ball in all of college football, but not on this night, as right now we just wound up getting the fourth quarter started with Arizona and Washington 16-7. Arizona has the lead, and they are now inside of the Washington 30. And man, when you just take a look at the hierarchy of the Pac-12 in general, and we've got a fat man interception, ladies and gentlemen. Big giant 91 for Washington was being blocked, and the pass was so bad that just literally hit him in the chest. I mean, that is one of the worst throws I have seen all year long, and congratulations to you, Mr. Plummer, for throwing that, as we got a fat man interception. You just love to see it, but unfortunately, he was unable to do anything with it because it was thrown right at the offensive line. A projected screen was way off on the screen, and now Washington is in business as Arizona, inside their own 30-yard line, winds up having that interception. That's just absolutely terrific, ladies and gentlemen. But you take a look at the Pac-12 in general. For one, you've got quarterbacks are doing whatever in the heck that was, so that's not helping out their cause. But when you're taking a look at the landscape of college football right now, I do think that you're going to be getting two teams into the college football playoff from the SEC. I'm going to be talking about this a little bit more in the second hour, but you just take a look at it. And with the Pac-12, along with what you're getting out there in the ACC, I think that both of these conferences are knocking themselves out to be able to get a team into the college football playoff. We've had it mentioned quite a few times, the fact that when it comes to these group of five teams, so the teams that do not include Notre Dame because they're an independent, they've been able to make the college football playoff before, but the American Conference USA, Sun Belt, what have you, they have never had a representative in the college football playoff. If Cincinnati is just continuing to roll along, continuing to be able to take care of their business, they should be able to make the college football playoff considering, well, they're in the top four right now, and I just don't see them getting leapfrogged if they just continue to have these dominant wins. But you just take a look at what you've been able to get out of the Pac-12. Oregon is clearly your number one team because they've really got the only quality win out of conference for the Pac-12. They were able to take down Ohio State at the beginning part of the season, but they've been a little bit lackluster recently. They, ironically enough, wound up playing a little bit of a close game against the very Arizona Wildcats that we're watching right now. But you take a look at the other teams, UCLA having a pair of losses recently. That has certainly hurt this conference. Got Arizona State, who's actually been able to show some fight. I like the way that they've been able to come out there week in and week out. But USC, as we know, they wound up firing Clay Helton after they wound up getting embarrassed by Stanford after their second game. So that's a little bit of a calamity. And then you just take a look at the ACC. NC State, Miami is going to be a little bit of a big one. That's going to be coming up on Saturday. But I mean, the Wolfpack, they're at 5-1. They're one of the top-ranked teams out there in this conference. As your lone undefeated team is Wake Forest, which I didn't know Wake Forest was a football school. Certainly is not a basketball school right now, so it's just a school, I guess, because it's not really a football school. It's not really a basketball school, but with Wake Forest, them at 6-0, they've really been able to roll along. They've been able to do some nice things, but when you take a look at Wake Forest, they still have to go on the road against North Carolina, another one of the biggest disappointments in all of college football. They still have to play against NC State. They still have to play against Clemson. So if they wind up going through this gauntlet undefeated, they probably will be able to put themselves in position for the college football playoff. I don't know about you, but I would not be betting on them going undefeated in the regular season. And then on top of that, you wind up having the ACC championship game as well. So I think that you are staring at a situation which you've got two teams coming out of the SEC. No doubt the Big Ten is very fascinating, but just taking a look at all this Pac-12 action in general, it is going to be intriguing to see what we wind up getting from there. And it's going to be intriguing to see what we wind up getting in the Mountain West as well, because there have been some teams that, let's put it this way, they have been underachieving a little bit. With Colorado State, it certainly has been interesting the way that they've been able to get to 2-0 in conference, and now it does appear as though they are going to be able to get the ball back with about 40 or so seconds left. They are currently trailing Utah State by a count of 26-24, so we got a lot on the line here as to whether or not you're going to be able to get the outright win, because field goal, obviously, is going to wind up giving Colorado State the lead, and it looks like it is Utah State who's now going to be taking over, as Colorado State, they were unable to get a drive generated, so Now we are going to be getting Utah State trying to be able to pretty much down the clock and be able to get the win. They are up by kind of 26 to 24. So you've got some big implications here, as this is a game in which Utah State opened up as a 1-point underdog. Money came in on Colorado. Colorado State, they wind up closing as more like a 3-point favorite. And that'll do it. So this one goes under. This one goes away of Utah State. So home underdogs once again doing a relatively solid job. We wound up seeing it as a theme, by the way, very early on during the college football season. During the first, I would say, 3 weeks of the college football season, you were seeing home underdogs hit at a rate of 60%. That has certainly come back to the pack a little bit more, and now it's more in a clip of right around, I would say, about 54% or so coming into tonight. So home underdogs certainly have dried up a little bit, but this is another home underdog that they not just cover the spread, but they were able to get the outright win. So that puts now home underdogs at 77-66-4 against the spread for the season. So right in that neighborhood of about 54%. So certainly something that I'm going to be tracking. Something else that we wound up seeing a lot of in college football as well is unders. We wound up seeing this game go under about 54% of games this season have been going under. So we're going to be talking a lot more about those trends and so much more throughout the show. But hey, we've got a little bit of baseball to get caught up on. The Houston Astros are going to be going to the World Series. Whether or not they're going to be facing off against the Braves or the Dodgers, that is now the question. And here's a better question. Who in the world are the LA Dodgers going to be starting? We're going to be diving into that next right here on the Greg Peterson Experience, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This segment of the Greg Peterson Experience is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternatives that can be enjoyed anywhere and at any time. So that way you never miss a minute of the game or tailgate party that you are attending. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and citrus, Zyn can be found at convenience stores nationwide. So that way you can find your Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's 16 pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in two strengths, so you have control over your nicotine satisfaction, and Zyn does contain nicotine and is for adults 21 years or older. So to learn more about finding Zyn at your local retailer, you can go to Zyn.com. That is Z-Y-N.com. And warning, this is a product that contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. As we are back here in lovely Las Vegas, it is the Greg Peterson Experience. And let's just put a bow on what we wound up seeing in college football over the last few minutes, as there was a missed kick by Cannon Camper, a 42-yarder for Colorado State. So that means that Colorado State winds up going down in a fiery heap to Utah State by a count of 26-24. Utah State, as a very slight home underdog, wound up opening up right around a 1-point home underdog, close more around a 3-point home underdog. They get the cash. So whether or not you wind up taking the money line or if you wind up taking the points, you wound up getting there with Utah State. And then you wound up seeing a very interesting interception for Washington, as they were down by a count of 16-7 to Arizona. Now it is a 16-14 game. So the Will Plummer interception does turn into points. And I am going to try to give you the last name of the gentleman that wound up having that interception. And boy, am I going to butcher this one. Tui Legatukasnoa. He comes from Concord, California, by the way. So that is one that was not necessarily easy to say, but big 91 of Washington wound up having an interception on the defensive line. Washington able to convert that into points. It was a passing touchdown on that one. So all of a sudden, you now have a game of 16-14 with the Arizona Wildcats, and they're in very good position to be able to cover the spread. But now if you wound up taking that Arizona money line, it is a little bit more of a question, as they just wound up having to punt it away to Washington. So they're going to be taking over at their own 20-yard line, as it looks like we've got a little bit of a brouhaha going on. So a lot of fun there, and it's a lot of fun if you're taking a look at Major League Baseball, because Now we do know one of the teams that are going to be in the World Series. It is the Houston Astros, who wound up taking down the Boston Red Sox by a count of 5-0. So the Boston Red Sox, who wound up seeing a little bit of betting attention on them, they wound up opening up as slight underdogs. They wound up closing in a lot of places, even money. You saw a couple plus 105s, but I know that there were quite a few bets on them. They do not wind up coming through. And Luis Garcia, he winds up pitching 5 1/3, scoreless. He was very good for the Houston Astros. Bullpen from there, able to be rock solid. They wind up doing their job. But we'll talk a little bit more about the Astros in the next segment, because even though you do wind up having a team in the Astros go to the World Series, what we're concerned about is our next bet. And our next bet is right now one that cannot be made, because this is a game between the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves that is currently off the board. For the Dodgers, we all thought that we were going to be getting Max Scherzer. We had heard about him having a little bit of a dead arm issue. It appears as though that dead arm issue has lingered after the team wound up landing in Atlanta. Apparently, they tested it out, and Max Scherzer is not going to be good to go. He has not only been scratched from his start, but he's not going to be pitching in any sort of a capacity in this one. And that's actually an important moniker, because we've seen it with the Dodgers. They wound up using Corey Knebel as an opener for Uli Urias, and we've seen Corey Knebel actually start two games on the team's last seven, so that's very fascinating, to say the least, with the LA Dodgers. But now it's all a sort of puzzle as to whether or not you're going to be getting Tony Gonsolin, David Price, or if you're going to be getting Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, as this is just something that's unprecedented. The last time we wound up seeing it was, ironically enough, if you remember the World Series back in 2019, Max Scherzer wound up getting scratched from a start. I think that he was supposed to be going toe-to-toe with Gerrit Cole. I think that the Washington Nationals wound up throwing out their Joe Ross to be able to replace him. Unfortunately, the LA Dodgers don't have a Joe Ross, because they've got a bunch of guys that they haven't pitched in quite a while. For Tony Gonsolin, he did wind up pitching in, I believe it was Game 2. He wound up throwing a couple innings. He did not look sharp. He has pitched 4 innings in this postseason. He has north of a 9 ERA, so that is not what you're looking for. David Price was recently added for the LA Dodgers as well. He was not on the roster to start out with, and with David Price, the last time he wound up throwing more than 2 innings in any sort of an appearance that he has made, August. That is not necessarily ideal. So the Dodgers, they're going to be looking for length, and with the Dodgers in general, I think that they are really paying for the sin that they wound up committing in Game 2, because you may recall in Game 2, you wound up having Uli Urias come out of the bullpen in a game which was 4-2, it looked like you could just use a generic bullpen arm. I recognize that there are things where you want to have like the righty-lefty, lefty-lefty sort of matchups, everything like that, but it made absolutely no sense whatsoever at the time. You saw Uli Urias give up runs in that stint, and then in Game 4, Uli Urias winds up getting shelled as he's coming off of pretty much 2 days rest from the last time he had pitched, and it was a calamity and a half, so you've got a whole lot that is going on when it comes to this Dodgers rotation, and I cannot feel good about this Dodgers team. I wound up initially setting the Braves as right around a plus 140 underdog, even with Max Scherzer going, so I was taking a look at it, because the Braves, when this game wound up getting pulled off the board, if you were out there in an East Coast jurisdiction, you were at worst getting a plus 150. Out here in Las Vegas, you were seeing between about a plus 160 to a plus 165. I thought that that was relatively good value on the Atlanta Braves, because with Ian Anderson, he has made 6 career postseason starts, and he is someone that has, throughout his postseason career, a .161 ERA, has been able to do a very good job of holding down the fort. A guy that will give up a couple too many walks, and this is a Dodgers team that they do a good job of being able to draw walks, but at the same time, I didn't think that they should be that big of a favorite, and you had your questions to start out with Max Scherzer, because he was, as I was alluding to a little bit earlier, dealing with a little bit of a dead arm situation, but now that you have absolutely no idea whatsoever what you're going to be able to get out of the LA Dodgers, it just becomes a situation where you toss up your hands, and you've really got to be evaluating this as if it's going to be a bullpen game, in my opinion, because I think that Dave Roberts is learning that throwing guys on short rest is not typically working out, and we've seen it with all these teams this postseason, which they wind up throwing these starters out of the bullpen, and it doesn't wind up paying off. Now, I will say for Nathan Eovaldi, and I'll get into this in a few minutes with the Red Sox and the Astros, he wound up pitching relatively solid for the Boston Red Sox. He winds up giving up 1 run in 4 1/3 innings. He winds up taking the loss in this one, but this is nothing that you can really pin on Nathan Eovaldi, and he had done it before, because as we remember, Nathan Eovaldi, he was someone that wound up being the hero of that 2018 World Series in a losing effort. He comes out of the bullpen unexpectedly, fires six very strong innings, and he wound up getting a big giant contract out of that. But when it comes to the LA Dodgers, who on this team is able to give you more than two innings after you wound up having a bullpen game in Game 5? So it was very timely in which you wound up having this travel day for the Dodgers. But you take a look on top of that, you're not only dealing with injuries when it comes to pitching staff. Now Justin Turner is out due to an injury. They were already dealing with an ailment to Max Muncy. I will say this for the Dodgers, they have been able to hit 14 home runs this postseason. That is the most of any team here in the playoffs. But we've also got an Atlanta Braves team that for the series has been hitting well above a 300 as well. You've got Eddie Rosario, who's about as hot as lava as well. And with the Atlanta Braves, this is a bunch in which, even though they did not wind up getting the start that they were hoping for out of Max Fried a few days ago, they are putting themselves in very good positioning. And speaking of putting themselves in very good positioning, the Washington Huskies are now on a big giant drive as you wind up having a nice pitch and catch that'll take them inside the red zone. Terrell Byram wound up having a right around 50-yard reception. He was also holding the football sort of like it was a loaf of bread, so that was very interesting. But for Tyrell Bynum, now 143 yards for him, so the Washington Huskies are now on the door and knocking. And, well, you thought that the LA Dodgers were on the door and knocking to try to be able to get back to the World Series. As we all remember, they wound up overcoming that 3-1 deficit against the Atlanta Braves last season, but I certainly do think that they're going to be up against it this season. So I take a look at this situation, and even if the Dodgers do wind up getting the win in this game, in Game 6, you still would have to go up against Charlie Morton, who he has won four winner-take-all games in the postseason. To put that into perspective, no other pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball has been played for quite a while, since the 19th century, has more than two. So I do think that just not being able to have Max Scherzer's services in general certainly going to be hurting the LA Dodgers. And whoever winds up winning the series between the Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers, well, their reward is going to be taking on the Houston Astros in the World Series. The Astros were able to get the job done Friday night. They were able to take down the Boston Red Sox, holding them to a shutout. So we're going to be diving into the Houston Astros a little bit more next. We're going to be taking a look at some of the futures odds with the World Series and so much more, as that's going to be coming up next on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as you're here for the Greg Peterson Experience.
You're experiencing Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bets emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every single game, plus full access to VSiN.com data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 a month. So sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe, and your football betting season is going to get even better, because in about 2.5 weeks, college basketball is back into our lives. And trust me, I will be hard at work, or if you want to use the other phrase, hardly working. I don't know whichever one you want to use, but we will be at work there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to have fans in the stands. We're going to have 358 D1 teams to be able to evaluate, and we're going to make a lot of money being able to bet against Chicago State. So it's going to be absolutely terrific, as we are back here on the Greg Peterson Experience. I am Greg Peterson, and if you have the under in Washington versus Arizona, you're also experiencing a sweat, as we have seen Washington run off two touchdowns here in the fourth quarter after they wound up trailing at the beginning of the quarter by a count of 16-7. Now all of a sudden, a fat man interception leads to a touchdown, and then you wind up having another drive in which Washington is able to go down the field 80 yards in merely a few minutes, and now we got Washington in the lead by a count of 21-16. And if you wind up taking the money line with Arizona, this is not looking great for you. Good news is, if you wind up taking the points with Arizona, because they opened up right around a 15.5-point underdog, they closed pretty much across the board at a 17. Well, you're in great shape there. And if you wind up taking the under, this is going to be a little bit airy for you. You wind up opening up right around 45. We saw close anywhere between a 45 and a half and a 46. You wind up seeing a good mixture of each. So now it is up to Arizona to try to be able to pull off the outright win. We've got about 6 minutes and 30 seconds left. And then a little bit earlier tonight, we wound up seeing Utah State be able to get the W over Colorado State as a slight home underdog. This by a count of 26-24. Utah State was catching 3 on the money line. We were able to get a relatively good price of between plus 130, plus 135-ish. So nice little cash share if you wound up taking it in. Total wound up going under there as well. And that's really been a theme of college football so far this season. About 54% of games have an under. So if you've done nothing other than bet unders in college football games, you're actually probably doing relatively well depending on the games that you've been picking. But speaking of just totals in general, if you've been taking unders in the Championship League series of both the American League and the National League, well, you're probably taking a path in losing tickets because it's not been going well for you. Game 6 of the ALCS was the first game, and it's going to be the only game of the ALCS that wound up going under as the Houston Astros wound up clinching their ticket to the World Series. They take down the Boston Red Sox by a count of 5-0. Each out of the first 5 games between these two wound up going over. Now, you wound up having a big-time miracle over in Game 4. I'm sure that some of you guys do not want to relive the experience that we wound up seeing with the home plate umpiring in that one, as there was a blown call by Elias Diaz on a strike 3. Game goes from 2-2 to 7-2 and then 9-2 as the Astros wound up putting up a touchdown in that one for one of the worst beats I've ever seen for an under that did not wind up going to extra innings / overtime I've ever seen in the history of watching games. So you wind up having that going on. But when it comes to the Astros, I do think that they're going to have the leg up in the World Series regardless of if they wind up facing off against the Atlanta Braves or if they wind up facing off against the LA Dodgers. No question, you're going to be able to get a better price on the Astros if they wind up facing off against the Dodgers rather than the Braves. But you just take a look at the MLB futures market right now. This has been freshly updated by DraftKings as a result of the Astros winning. The Red Sox are now off the board. But if you're taking a look at odds to be able to win the World Series right now, it seems as though DraftKings is sort of in the mindset that I am, that the Astros should be the favorite to be able to take it, as they are now listed as minus 160 favorites to be able to win the World Series. I would think that that number will come down a little bit more if the Dodgers are able to pull off a win in both Game 6 and Game 7. But right now, the Atlanta Braves are plus 240 if you want to take a shot on them to be able to win the World Series. And the Dodgers are at plus 425, which I find it comical that right now this is probably the best price we have seen on the LA Dodgers stands prior to them going into Game 5, because obviously being down 3-1, that's a big hole. But we have not seen the Dodgers at this good of prices to be able to win the World Series all season long, because you may remember they were right around plus 300, plus 350 throughout the early part of much of the season. That really didn't drop throughout the season. So the fact that you're getting better prices on the LA Dodgers now than if you wound up betting it opening day, I just find to be very hilarious. But when it comes to the Astros, I do think that they should be the rightful favorite, regardless of who winds coming out of this Braves versus Dodgers series, because you take a look at the Astros, and in my opinion, they've got the best manager out of all three of these teams. Dusty Baker has been pushing all the right buttons. We saw it early on in the series against the Red Sox. He was getting a big, giant nothing burger out of all of his starters. Framber Valdez going 8 innings in Game 5 was nothing short of a godsend, because in the previous 3 starts, the team had gotten like 5 innings out of their 3 starters combined. Luis Garcia has been a little bit all over the place here in the postseason. He was able to find it tonight as he wound up having 21 pitches in the first 5 innings, over 96 miles per hour. He had 17 all throughout the season. So I don't know if someone wound up getting into his ear about mechanics or what have you, but he was certainly throwing the ball very well tonight. And when it comes to the Astros in general, their usage has been very smart, because if you notice in the series against the Red Sox, Luis Garcia wound up making both of his starts at home. You want to be noting some of these home and road splits when it comes to these Astros starters, because you've got some very demonstrative ones. You've got Framber Valdez, who home/road, there's really not much of an upgrade/downgrade with him. You take a look at Garcia, though. He, during the regular season, wound up right around having a 4.25 road ERA. His home ERA, more like a 2.40, and he got right around a full strikeout per 9 innings, more at home than on the road. I'm not sure why that is, but he certainly had been quite a bit more effective whenever he was in Houston, so that is a good note to have. Now, Lance McCullers Jr., it is a little bit uncertain as to what you're going to be able to get out of him for the World Series. He wound up being someone that did not wind up making a single start in the Championship League Series. He's been dealing with a little bit of an ailment, so you want to be taking a look at him before you wind up firing in on any Dodgers to win the World Series future, in my opinion, because if McCullers winds up being declared out, I still like the Astros, but you'll probably be able to get them at a little bit of a better price, in my opinion, just because McCullers has been the best pitcher for the Houston Astros all season long. But even you take a look at the bullpen, I was mentioning how Dusty Baker was really doing a good job of being able to press all the right buttons out of there because he had not been getting a lot out of his starters. You take a look at Kendall Graveman, Ryan Presley. These guys have certainly been able to do the job. A pair of guys that wound up going into Game 6, wound up throwing shutout innings for the Houston Astros. I think that that's going to be very critical for them because even if the Dodgers are able to survive in advance in this series against the Braves, we're seeing it right now. They've got pretty much three starters, and then they're having to rely upon pretty much everything that they've got in the bullpen. And while the Dodgers do have the second-best bullpen ERA overall for the season, it is getting very badly taxed. They wound up having to use Julio Urías out of the bullpen in Game 2. That is not necessarily a spot where you want to be. And then when it comes to the Houston Astros in general, this is a team in which they are the top-scoring team in all of Major League Baseball. Between the regular season and the postseason, they're averaging right around 5.4 runs per game, and you really don't get a break with this team. Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Yordan Alvarez, all guys that during the regular season hit at least a 270 with at least 25 home runs. Michael Brantley has been able to do a great job of being able to get on base for you as well. And this is a team that they know how to do a good job of being able to have their split slash pinch hitters as well, because you've got one liability in the lineup. That'd be Martin Maldonado. He does a good job behind the dish, but he is not a guy that's going to give you any pop whatsoever. Hitting below the Mendoza line of 200 overall for the season between the regular season and the postseason. But whenever they need a big at-bat and he winds up coming up, Dusty Baker has been pushing all the right buttons, having guys like Jose Siri and company who, if you knew who Jose Siri was about a month and a half ago, I give you credit, or you're doing a lot of just prospecting in general, because I know that he was relatively out when it came to the minor league system of the Astros, which has been really well built in and of itself. But I take a look at this Astros team. I think that they're very well managed, and that's something that you've got to be taking a look at when it comes to the postseason handicapping, not just with regards to baseball, not just with regards to this postseason, but I feel like in general, whether it be the NFL, whether it be college basketball, because where a team winds up playing their game in the NCAA tournament, that can make a world of difference as to whether or not you're going to get the fans there or not. I do think that they make a much bigger impact now than rather than, say, a random Saturday afternoon where you would have like the Astros against, insert the Baltimore Orioles here. You've got a bunch of people that wind up going with their families and what have you, and you just have a bunch of people that aren't necessarily as involved in the game. It just doesn't have the same energy in these postseason games. You've noticed that no matter who the home team has been, every single fan is in there hanging on every pitch. Sometimes you wind up getting the late-arriving LA crowd, but by and large, you've got a lot of guys that they are just completely involved with it. So I think that that is something that you do want to be noting as well. And then when it comes to managerial decisions, they become all the more amplified because you just notice at this time of year, starters, they don't necessarily go as deep. The bullpen is a little bit more at a premium. And that's why first fives are a little bit more dicier in the postseason, just because typically when you take a first five, you try to really take the bullpen out of the equation. Well, if you take a first five, there is no guarantee that you have taken the bullpen out of the equation. But something that we are putting into the equation here on the Greg Peterson Experience, taking a look at some NBA basketball. We're going to be taking a look at Saturday's slate next, right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Seen Hoops Peterson himself on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and the Vegas Ads and Information Network VSiN will be providing coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit vsin.com/SBNC for more information and to learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That is vsin.com/SBNC. As we are back here in a lovely Las Vegas over here at Circa for the Greg Peterson Experience. I am Greg Peterson, and we were talking about it a little bit off air, the fact that the Sports Betting National Championships will give me a little bit of something to watch while I wind up doing my college basketball conference previews, because you may recall we were doing a little bit of promotion for some things that we've got going on with Hulu as well, and I wind up watching a bunch of bad Hulu films over the weekend, and just one of those things in which it's routine. So thank goodness we've got the Sports Betting National Championship to keep myself company, or else I'll be watching like some rom-com, and well, nobody wants that, and nobody wants losing tickets. So we've got to be taking a look at the NBA right now, and I can tell you right now, first couple days of the NBA season, a lot of you guys are amped up for it, a lot of you guys are very excited, and something that I've noticed when it comes to betting on the NBA, because I do certainly a whole heck of a lot less when it comes to the NBA rather than college basketball. And the big reason why is because with college basketball, I do feel like there's a lot more value in being able to get pre-flop numbers. And when it comes to the NBA, I think the best way to be able to approach betting on the NBA, and I know that there have been some people on this network that have talked about this as well, I've been a big believer of it for the last few years, being able to bet in-game, because if you just take a look at the major sports in general, and that includes college sports as well, I feel like the most volatile market that you're going to find when it comes to just betting in general, that is the NBA. It feels like every single NBA game I wind up watching, it can be on a tight spread, it could be a game in which you wind up having, like, for example, the Detroit Pistons playing against the Milwaukee Bucks. It doesn't matter the matchup. It just feels like at some point, the team that you wind up betting on in the NBA for just about every game, they at some point are going to be leading by 15 points, and at some point they're going to be down by 15 points. There are just so many runs. I think that it's to the best advantage of you guys out there betting to be able to take a look at in-game. Now, obviously, when it comes to in-game, typically you're going to be paying a little bit more juice when you wind up being able to bet in-game, but if you're able to get, instead of, say, we're just going to throw out there a little bit of spitball here, the Hawks against the Cleveland Cavaliers, rather than laying whatever you would with the Atlanta Hawks right now, if you're able to trim like 3 or so points off of it, that's a really good way to be able to go about it, in my opinion. Right now, if you're taking a look, the Atlanta Hawks are right now about a 7-point favorite at DraftKings. This is one that is actually off the board because we've got some big time injury concerns, and that's always a part of it as well, because when it comes to the NBA in general, you are going to notice that there's quite a bit of volatility because there is a lot of injury information, and you do wind up having a lot of teams that they wind up going with some funky lineups because you wind up having guys that are load managing. Obviously, I sure hope we're not seeing load management here in the first week of the season, or else then we've really went way too far, but it certainly does make it a little bit of a horse of peace situation. We know that some star players like a Klay Thompson, they're not going to be out there to begin the season because of lingering issues from last year, but you do take a look at the grand scheme of things in the NBA. I do think that there is really good value in being able to dive into this market in-game. And then when it comes to the NBA as well, I do think that there is just some very good opportunities in general. If you take a look at some player props as well, this has become a much better market recently out here on the West Coast, out here in Las Vegas. You unfortunately don't have as many out there on the East Coast. Places like DraftKings, list goes on and on of these books that have really set up shop on the eastern part of the United States. They've been doing a very good job of being able to offer player props, whether it be points, rebounds, assists. Sometimes you're able to combine them all together. You're able to go just points and rebounds. You've got a whole bunch of different offerings. And when you just take a look at so many of these people that they give out picks, you always notice that a lot of them, they are going with overs, 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 and more overs. And trust me, the books are taking note of it, and that provides a little bit more value to the under. I do think that when it comes to just pretty much anything in sports betting, when you just take a look at the grand scheme of things, whether it be totals in the NFL, totals in college football, I wound up talking about it a little bit earlier that right now in college football, we've seen about 54% of games overall for the season go under. I think that that provides a very good opportunity. I think that it's no different for player props. Now, no question, there's always times where there is some good value on the over. We saw with Giannis Antetokounmpo during the NBA Finals. If you were taking Giannis overs, well, you're making yourself a whole bunch of coin, but by and large, when you just take a look at it, you probably don't want to be having like 10 player prop bets and all 10 of them be overs because, well, I think that you've probably played into the book's hands a little bit and you're probably a little bit off when it comes to your metrics, just because I do think that by and large, if you were able to, if you wanted putting down bets on say 100 different player props, you'd probably have a higher percentage of unders and overs. We see that just with sports betting in general. Typically, when you take a look at a normal sport, when you do have fans in the stands, because obviously when we wound up coming back from the pandemic, you did wind up seeing a little bit more value on overs. There's no crowd noise. You wound up having a little bit more adjusting when it came to totals in general. But typically in a normal season, which you've got fans in the stands, you typically see a little bit more of an underrate than an overrate. So that is something that I do like to take a look at, especially when it comes to just all these player props that you're going to be able to get on a night-in and night-out basis. And on a night-in and night-out basis, we're getting more and more football. And this game just wound up going final between the Washington Huskies and the Arizona Wildcats. The Arizona Wildcats were up 16-7 going into the beginning part of the fourth quarter. Well, if you wound up taking a juicy money line in, by juicy, I mean you were getting anywhere between about a plus 550 to even north of $6 in some places. Well, unfortunately, they were unable to get the job done for the Wildcats as they are still winless on the season. Washington, who I feel like it's been one of the more underachieving teams in all of college football thus far, they are able to get it done by kind of 21-16. Now, if you wound up taking the 17 points with Washington, you were able to cash that as they were able to hold on. And this is a total that does wind up going under. The total wound up opening up right around a 45, close between a 45.5 and a 46. So you didn't see a whole heck of a lot of movement there, but Arizona just wound up having a big giant unraveling. A defensive lineman for Washington winds up getting an interception about midway through the fourth quarter. Then from there, Washington able to put up a pair of touchdowns. So that was a little bit of a heartbreaker there. And we saw this a little bit earlier in the hour as well. If you wanted missing it, Utah State was able to get the win over Colorado State as a very slight home underdog as well. This by a count of 26-24 as Utah State opened up right around 1 point underdog. They closed more in the neighborhood of 3. And it was another game that wound up going under as the total of 54.5 on the open winds up closing between 58 and 59. Didn't matter if you had the opening total or the closing total. The line move did not wind up making any sort of a difference here. It was just an under all the way, and I've been seeing that a lot in college football as well. You wind up seeing home underdogs be very hot towards the start of the season. That has cooled down a little bit, but still, if you've been betting on home underdogs against the spread, you're hitting between 53.5 and 54% of your bets overall this season, so certainly has been highly profitable. And like I'm saying, when it comes to NBA in-game, I feel like you're able to be a little bit more profitable with that route as well. You just want to be heading in there with a little bit of a plan of attack. I don't think that this is one of these situations in which you want to be just going in there with your pants on fire, being like, oh, if a team winds up getting down by 5 points, I am going to wind up taking this thing in-game. You want to be actually gauging the action. I think that that's really critical for all sorts of in-game betting, whether that be the NFL, whether that be for college basketball, the NBA, because sometimes you might be noticing a number in-game might be a little bit off and you're thinking, ooh, I'm getting a really good number, when in reality, if you weren't watching closely enough, maybe there winds up being someone that winds up going out with an injury, what have you, and that's actually a good way to be able to make money as well, just being able to observe these games, sort of take a look and be like, all right, Team X, they went 5 of 7 from three-point range, and they are getting a bunch of open looks. I think that this is going to continue. Or maybe that 5 of 7 was on a bunch of contested shots. You wind up having a couple fadeaways. Guys that wind up shooting traditionally like 32% from 3. They all of a sudden look like Steph Curry 2.0, something like that. And you're just like, okay, this is not something that I can really stick a lot of stock into. This is certainly going to regress. And I think that that's a big key of it. And what makes live betting the NBA a little bit different, as well as just the amount of possessions in general as well. When it comes to college basketball, I always use the phrase of matchups make fights, because you've got teams that play very, very fast. You've got a couple teams that they play a little bit more low and slow. You don't have as much of that in the NBA. So you know a little bit more of what to expect when it comes to tempo as well. So when it comes to your NBA handicapping, I do think that in-game is really a good way to go. And like I said, when you see so many of these player props and you see a bunch of people that are just like, oh, a whole bunch of overs, well, typically it's best to zag while so many others are zigging and try to be able to make a little bit of money that way. How about if we try to make some money in the NFL? Coming up next, we've got some great props that are going to be coming your way for this week in the NFL. Going to be diving into them next right here on the Greg Peterson Experience on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.